Record 1, 2, 3, 4. Record 1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't remember those.
I think this is coming through all right now. And I don't. What I have there, I think, is pretty skimpy. Let me back up just to make sure we're recording. Well, let me get back up. I don't know how far your memories go, but what's the earliest that you remember? I mean, where did you live the first that you can remember?
I remember when we lived in Chicago.
What were you doing there?
My dad was a seminary professor.
When would that have been?
Well, I was born there in 1927.
Well, it was earlier than that. So it would have been maybe a couple years earlier than that because of course.
Well,
I was
but
just
you
2 years.
You were born in Louisville,
right.
In 25.
In 25. Well, this may have been 26. I can remember when we lived.
As a year old, you remember it?
Well, I remember when you were born, or at least when you were sick and almost died.
But I was 4 years old then.
Oh, no, you weren't. You were an infant when you turned blue and they had to get Dr.
Well, since you're on that, what was the matter with her? Whooping cough? That turned
That's
people blue?
Well, the only thing I remember is when the eardrum burst, but...
No, I think maybe it was more like whooping cough, but easily.
Whooping cough used to kill children because they couldn't get their breath and they would turn blue.
But I remember living in... before we moved to Oak Park. And then we moved to Oak Park.
Where did you
born in Oak Park, so.
Mm-hmm. Where did you live in Oak Park? What was the facility like?
It was a house.
It was a two-story house.
How did you heat it?
There was a big furnace in the basement, and I'm assuming it was cold.
Well, there was
well,
a
I
cold
know there was
room.
Cold.
Did you have a car?
We had a car.
It's
in there.
Oh, well, I remember reading about the car much later.
Well, we didn't have a car at first.
They never owned a car, at least not after they moved to Chicago. And then when we left Chicago, and that was 1930, it was a 1932 Dodge, and it was still in pretty good shape, so
it
I suppose
new.
It was 33 years.
Where did you go from Chicago?
To Middlebury,
Indiana.
Middlebury, Indiana. I could tell you some. I will. This was during the Depression, and we bought 837 South Humphrey was the name of the street and the address of this house. Big, beautiful house. It was a Brethren settlement out there. On one side was Omer B. Mathis, who was the big...
Administrator of the hospital.
Administrator of the hospital. Across the street was A.C. Wien, the president of the seminary.
Moyer,
who was the librarian at the cemetery.
Now this was where?
Seminary.
He wasn't
this
at
was
the seminary.
Where?
He was
Park.
At...
This was in Oak Park.
In Oak Park.
That other school. Moody Bible Institute.
Oh, really? Okay.
And
the Kellers lived down the street. The Dr. Bowman,
Curtis
Bowman. Medical doctor from the hospital.
Did you realize at that time you were surrounded that much brethrenism?
I think I did because we all went to church at First Church. We rode the elevated train. Daddy took the train to the seminary and we went shopping downtown.
They went on the elevated when they went to the hospital for me.
Okay. And then my folks took in boarders. I can remember two different borders that they had in order to help pay for it.
How big was this house, do you remember?
They had a big, full basement, as I recall. It was, there must have been four bedrooms upstairs.
I don't...
I think so, because there was, my daddy had a study up there. They rented a room. They had a bedroom, and I think we may all have stayed in that bedroom. Maybe there were only three, but...
I have a feeling.
Well...
And it was a big bathroom.
It's a, yeah, okay.
It probably wouldn't look as big to you now.
I saw it.
No,
but... Recently.
But downstairs it was just a living room, a dining room, a kitchen.
Okay.
Did these people eat at your table?
Porch.
These renters eat at your table?
They may have part of the time. I remember.
They rented rooms, probably not.
Yeah, they rented a room. Rented a room.
Were they students?
No. One of them was a
pretty lady.
Yeah, pretty lady. And one of them, a man,
a Chinese,
was a guide at one of the museums downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, then the seminary was having some financial problems. And so they decided, I mean, Daddy, this is my side of the story, was that he said that he could get a job somewhere else, I mean, as a pastor. And and would do that so that that would save one salary.
Well,
so the seminary bought our house.
The seminary took over the payments.
Took over.
They didn't pay anything.
Now that I hadn't picked up, but you were buying this house.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were buying. Well, you're right, because they took over the payments, and then that became the president's home, and that's why I think. I mean, Rufus Bowman lived there.
I know.
It
was not
huge. No. It wasn't like McPherson College president's home or anything.
I mean, I'd like to clear up a matter. And we were
you've
David,
been in it.
David said that your father taught at the Trinity School, not the seminary.
But I think it was the seminary because he taught.
He went back and forth to several different, levels. He went to the training school. And that's why he didn't graduate from Manchester College, because he was he was teaching at the...
Are you kidding?
He was teaching at the training school, maybe.
Well, but he graduated from Manchester.
Yes, but he graduated in absentia. I just read that here.
Okay.
Because he was busy teaching somewhere.
Hmm.
Now, I probably can validate some of that information if I get hold of the college catalogs from Bethany. I don't have them. But if I mean, that kind of stuff,
right?
I can get some firm information.
Sure.
So that, but I'd,
and
you know,
I that
need
to
feed
it in here. But anyway, so then we moved to Indiana at that point. Went to Middlebury. Were there for 3 years, and then went on the farm for a couple of years.
And I think when we were on the farm. Now, there may have been other payments, but I remember that the seminary sent, I think, $500.
Really?
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
So I would hate to quote that as a firm figure, but they really received almost, I mean, the money they had paid on that house was just down the drain.
And that was always...
And so, but they did get a little, very little.
Well, that, let me back that up a little.
Ooh,
idea.
That is...
That, that money, you said the money was the money the seminary sent money to you?
Well,
you had paid on the house, or for paying you for the house?
Well, when my parents left, the seminary had no money to pay.
And they just gave them the house?
Yes, rather than letting the bank just have the house.
No.
So the seminary took over the payments, and my parents did not receive at that point any money for it.
And
but
how,
later
that
on,
was how many years?
Well, that would have been
like
5 years later.
I was in like the third or fourth grade. third grade, so.
Did they get much money for it, or this?
I think it was $500. And the reason I remember that is because it was painful for my mother.
Yes.
Because her father had given them some money to put on the house. And
okay.
in the matter of thousands, and she felt so badly that they had lost that money. But Daddy never,
I never heard him say anything about it, but I knew that mother.
Yeah. But, I mean, she just felt badly. It's not that she resented anything, but...
A lot of people felt
lost,
badly.
Sure.
A lot of things that happened in the Depression years, that's for sure.
And at Middlebury, I think, didn't they get $60 a month?
I think so.
But...
Parsonage, too?
Mm-hmm. But the parsonage was there. People...
A chicken house.
Gave us, and a garden.
And orchards.
And I think the neighbors probably gave... There was a cow across the street from us, and I think they probably gave us the milk. They were church people. And
Roy and I can relate to that $60. That's what we got in our first pastor.
I never felt poor, but I remember, I still to this day, turn the lights off. It bothers me to leave them on because
I heard some on tonight.
Well, but don't you remember in Middlebury, in the upstairs, if we left the light on, I felt like, we're wasting electricity and it costs money. But we never felt poor.
No.
But you conserved what you had.
Yes, right. And we didn't, yes. And Mother made all of our clothes out of other people's clothes. My aunt was a school teacher, and she would give her dresses, and then Mother would make
and flower sacks.
Dresses out of her dresses for us.
And you had an insertion there on the farm. You were at the church 3 years as pastor.
Right.
Where was the farm?
Napanee. It was the family farm. And my dad just kind of had a hankering to be on the farm, and I think also he felt pulled to be with his parents.
Well, his mother at this point was ill with cancer.
I see.
And his folks were going to have to move off the farm. They had a place in town. This was Napanee. And there was a church opened. What was the name of that?
Wakarusa.
And so Daddy took that church and also was on the farm. But there was another time, too, during that period when he went to Manchester.
That was the spring term. He taught for
R.H. Miller.
So he would go back and forth.
But this family farm was your dad's parents.
Yeah, but it was very small. You couldn't earn a living on it.
It was 30, just, wasn't it 30?
30 or 40 acres.
Well, I think it was 30 acres.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was small.
Then mother's people were good farmers. I mean, not that Grandpa Metzner wasn't a good farmer, but he was also a minister and a free minister, and he had various churches at various times.
And
so farming was not the big thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
But mother's people were good farmers, and Mother was always sorry for Daddy because they didn't have the equipment, and yet Mother's sister's husband had all kinds of stuff.
You're saying, you didn't quite say it, but you almost did, your mother's family would be well-to-do as
they
well.
I
wouldn't call them well-to-do.
Well,
I would. They had, I mean, the very fact that they bought her a pump organ, and
Grandpa Metzler had a pump organ too.
That's true. Okay, well,
they both did.
Well, they had their own horses and farm machinery through the Depression. That was to be commended. I mean,
they were. But you're right. I never thought of Grandpa Metzler's having money.
Commented here that your mother's family put some money into that house, so they must have had a little.
Oh, they had they had land. And Grandpa Stump bought land for his...
Grandpa who?
Stump.
Stump. Related to Harley?
Uh-uh.
No, they checked into it. At least it's back a ways if it was. Just a little, now that you mentioned the name, let me just toss this in, which has nothing to do with this. My mother's father was Jerobe Stump, and we assumed that that should have been Jeroboam, but they called him Jerobe, and that was the birth name. And he married Sarah Burkholder, and I'm just now discovering that there were Burkholders also on the Metzler side. And so my cousin, John, just said, you know, your mom and your dad may have been cousins way back somewhere.
May and may not.
Join the crowd. I know that the Florys were.
Yeah, lots of Burkholders.
Oh, yeah, lots of Burkholders.
Well, Pauline Grove, Verda's sister, married my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we run some stuff down on the Florys, and Pauline's more of a Flory than I am.
You're a Flory in name only.
Yeah. Well, her dad's name was Earl Flory Grove.
Oh, for goodness.
And his line came out of the Flory tribe out of Bridgewater. John Flory, all offsprings of John Flory. But you run that down a few lines, it's kind of funny. There, this one and this one, some of their grandchildren married. A couple of those got together with Pauline, and just one of them got together with Lee. So, it's what a watch it when you start looking at the brethren. We're a mess.
Well, no, that's not the way John Metzler is saying. He said these Anabaptists did a wonderful job of keeping track of all their family.
Well, we were only on the farm, 2 years or one?
I always have trouble remembering.
Well, I thought I was in the third grade in Middlebury, and I came here in the fifth grade. So we were only there on the fourth, year, I think.
Well,
like the summer and the full year and the next summer. We didn't move until August.
How did you happen to get here? Do you remember anything about the dynamics of coming, or the negotiating, or anything?
Mm-hmm. Well, Daddy and Dr. Schwalm were good friends from college days.
That was Dr. Schwalm. We got Daddy to go to Manchester College.
Well, slow that up. From college days, did Schwalm have your dad in class?
Well,
I know Schwalm.
Older.
I've read a bunch of Schwalm stuff, and I know he always said that his most productive years were the years he taught at Manchester. It was the great students he had there.
Well, then Daddy was one of them.
Well, and there were a lot of them. Beam and Delaney.
That whole bunch of J.D. Bright, who was my history professor.
They were all...
But anyway, Dr. Schwalm approached Daddy about coming to McPherson.
And I think I have in here one place about how Dr. Schwalm recruited Daddy for medicine. In fact, I think Daddy said sometime he had thought that he would probably end up at Goshen College because it was close. And Dr. Schwalm came in with one afternoon with his horse and buggy, and sat down somewhere, and he ended up going to Manchester. And then, so then later, and I think the fact that Daddy had gone to Manchester and taught that semester was kind of an impetus too, and then Dr. Schwalm.
Well, let's face it, we wouldn't have stayed on the farm very long. I mean, he may have kind of wanted to have his finger in it, but...
Well, he had kind of a mission there with the family.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm sure, of course, it was extremely difficult when they left, because in the tape that we listened to the other day, he told about when we left.
I remember.
That we forgot something, and we went back.
This was at Grandpa Stump's in the town.
Metzler. And when he went in, his parents were both just sitting there. They figured that Grandma knew she'd never see us again. And she didn't.
We didn't.
So It was very difficult,
she died
courageous move for me.
In September, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Daddy and Mother drove back so we could stay. Mm-hmm.
So
who stayed with us?
I know. It was Myers. Phil Myers' sister, what was her name?
Phil Myers? Yeah, we should know.
Gertrude Myers. And I remember, now this is not for the book, but I remember, Gertrude was there. I thought she was gone. And she was still downstairs. And you went into a room and were looking at her stuff. And I said, Gertrude Ann's looking at your lipstick. And she was down there.
That's the kind of stuff you ought to publish. That brings a really human interest thing.
That's human.
It has nothing to do with
tell
Daddy.
About the first house you lived in.
Where? Yeah.
Well, you didn't live on Alfred 145 there, did you?
Mm-hmm. We lived...
Was that where Teaches had built?
No, they lived across... Well, I don't know.
House... we thought it was really something.
The middle of the block across from Verda and Wes. That house in the middle of all of that.
Across from where Schwalm's...
And Schwalm's lived on the corner. And Boytnot's lived on the where the
and
horses
Bill,
are.
Bill, what's his name that was at the...
What did you say?
Boytnot's lived where De Courcy's live now, and then Boytnot's built the new house.
Okay, see, I never knew Boytnot's at that house.
Uh-huh. Because they had our brother David and John Boytnot. Well, I used to play with them too in the sandbox back of
De Courcy's. And Heckman's lived on the corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He didn't.
And you lived in that house for 1 year?
And just 1 year. Mm-hmm.
Then where did you move?
Then we bought 145 Olive.
Well, that house, you drove into, I think it was where Teach, I think
Teach lived across the street in the small house. And Zook,
maybe Zook. Okay, it was some familiar name. But we had one or the other.
Don't
anyway, know. When you go down the alley and turn in the backyard, and they have, you can go into the garage is in the basement, and you drive down.
Oh.
In the basement. We
used to be.
Yeah. We live next to me. Well, anyway, we thought that was really cool.
How did you feel about coming to McPherson?
Oh, in those days, you didn't, if your folks went, you went.
I'll tell you what I thought. I remember sitting on the front row for geography class in the country school,
and
at Napanee,
out in the country, where Daddy
and the map was up there, and there was Kansas in the middle, a long way from Indiana. And I thought to myself, very smugly, someday I'll tell you people that I lived there, but
so
I never left it.
So you actually looked forward to it.
Well, I just thought it was an excursion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would be, I didn't think of it in terms of a permanent thing. It was just...
Did you feel, as kids in the family, did you feel glad to come to a college community?
Oh,
did you think about a college community?
Yeah, I didn't know what it... I thought it was wonderful. Faculty picnics, and I had all these wonderful girlfriends, and mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
You have a reaction to how your dad felt about his assignment?
I think he was very happy.
Did he get enough money to make any difference?
They managed very well.
Well, and he also, at different times, fairly early, he was sort of the pastor of the church in between pastors, too. Bernard King, and there was some point in there early on when he had responsibility.
I remember when Bernard King
church.
Was here. Did he get a little supplemental help on that for filling in? Or,
I have no idea. We never talked about
it. I don't think
Daddy,
there was a very long period of time we didn't have a pastor here.
No, I don't think so either. Daddy always seemed to be above talking about money. Mother was much more concerned about that. And we gathered, you know, a lot of these faculty people, our friends' parents, had oil, different places, and had land.
I wouldn't say a
Texas.
Lot.
Well, there were two or three.
Yeah, but that's not a lot.
Well, hey, it's a small college.
Well,
a bunch of them had an active interest. I've heard Moeller say, pastor of the church was here. He and Moeller went down to Texas and bought some of that land.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Dickens is the guy's name? Anyhow, is
which guy?
Huh? He's Kurtz's nephew.
It's
he left about 21.
Richards.
Not Richards. The guy before him. I can't say his name now.
Kurtz's
nephew.
There was a pastor here?
Yes. And he was in the Bible department. Yeah. He was a very powerful guy. And he had earned a PhD, and Kurtz did not. And
that was before Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite a little. And I guess I can say this, I don't know that I'd publish this, but Moeller told me that he thought Kurtz was a little jealous. The other guy was half a dozen years younger than he was, and when they'd played together, Kurtz always told him what to do, and Kurtz still told him what to do when he was on the faculty. And the other guy, at some point, got enough. Anyhow, he left. And Moeller said that they had bought a section of land in Texas together, and they didn't know anything about oil.
Color.
They didn't know anything about oil, so when they just divided 50-50.
Yeah, I heard that.
And Color had 20 oil wells, and Moeller said he never got a drop of oil on his. He laughed about that. He never got any oil return of any kind.
Didn't Color precede your father?
No. No, I can tell you that pretty soon.
Well, how about?
Color was a long, Color wouldn't. Color would have been a long.
Teach was a pastor at the church.
Color would have left. I think Color would have left by 21 or 22, and Burton Metzler didn't come for 15 years.
37.
Right ahead of your dad was. He's a pretty brilliant guy.
Yeah.
I remember.
I can't think of name.
John Bowers said this.
What's his name?
Says anyhow, the other guy said. He took you to pieces theologically, and Burton Metzler came along and put you all back together.
I remember that. That was a wonderful.
What was his name? He was really a pretty aggressive guy. I think he's a Manchester guy. And he was bright, admittedly bright, and kind of controversial in some way.
Well, I didn't know him at all, Daddy never said anything. But I remember getting the feel or the vibes that maybe from Mrs. Heckman, because, see, her husband had taught in the Bible department, how glad they were to have Daddy.
He was not his predecessor.
Yeah.
He was pretty.
What was the guy's name? Anyhow, it's not that unusual, but I just can't say it. But he would have been the sort of guy who would have enjoyed stirring up a little. My mother did. Well, where else do we go here? I'd like, you know, I'm hearing you say some things. I could put some dates.
Well, Daddy
on some.
I'm his daughter, so naturally, I think he had a great mind. But he also, just like he always said, and I remember him saying this more than once, well, if it doesn't work out, we can always go back. He can always go back to the farm and raise pigs. And he did a lot with his hands. Like in the latter years, he built clocks. But in the other years, we bought the house 145 North Olivet. And he was always working on the basement walls.
He had to.
Well, I think he enjoyed that.
Well, I do
he
too.
He needed a certain amount of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he was always.
Don't that. I'm 100% with him on that. I have a few things.
And I can remember when he, and he enjoyed working outside, outdoors. And I know after he married Mabel, and he, and Mabel told me that he came in one day from, what they had built.
But I was going to say that I always had the feel that Mother and Daddy really, really liked this person. And they became very active in the district. He went to many churches, people all over knew him. And they felt, I always had the feeling from them that they really liked it here.
I've often wondered, so, you know, as we often do, I wish, after I got old enough, I wish I'd talked to Mother about how she felt coming out here and leaving her family. Now, I'm glad you have that sense, and I don't remember her ever complaining. But I know from the moves that I have made, you know, I just wonder how she did. I can remember kind of, this is a switch, indicating also that she liked it. I can remember when they moved from Chicago, which was a pretty classy place. I mean, there she dressed pretty well. I mean, she didn't wear a little bonnet or anything. Then they moved to Middlebury, and she went to a place in Goshen, a bonnet maker. And I think she bought a bunch.
And
now,
I
just
have
a
to
minute, just a minute.
Disagree.
She, I know she did. She
and never
she,
wore it.
No, she didn't. But she checked because she thought that when she moved down there, because those churches were kind of backwards. And so that at least she was thinking about it. I can remember when she came out here, and it was in the fall. And there was a meeting of the Dames Club, Cosmos Club, one of those.
Dames would have been very active then. Cosmos would too, but Dames,
okay,
of
I think
course,
it was Dames Club.
Was
and I remember her getting dressed for that. And we tried to decide, you know, what should Mother wear? And she wore a good-looking black dress with shiny colored iridescent buttons. She wore it, but anyway. I'd agree with you that she...
That's interesting. I know what Schwamm's thought. I know Mrs. Schwamm thought she was jumping off the end of the world when she came out here.
Well,
she couldn't believe it because she came a little earlier. In fact, I have her on tape. I know what she thought.
That would be interesting.
I think there was some of that feeling on the part of our parents, but they did not portray it to us. But I remember the trip out. It was in Jack Grasshopper days, and we'd stop at the gas stations, and they'd just be swarming. And
we got
we
here.
Stayed in a little dinky motel. And our lunches, we never ate at a restaurant. Bought bread and canned peaches or something like that, which wonderful because it's the only time we had bought canned peaches.
Had bought cinnamon rolls were the greatest things in the world.
But when we got to McPherson. And when in the house, we were assailed with a horrible smell because Mother had canned all the chickens and they had spoiled. The jars hadn't stayed sealed. And so that would have been a very demoralizing thing. And before we left the farm, Uncle John, Daddy's brother, and his wife came out and together they butchered the cow and canned the beef.
My mother used to can beef, but I know it was touch and go because you had to do that exactly right or you'd lose it. I understood what you said.
And so I know that for Mother and Daddy, it was a lot harder than for we children.
Oh.
And the fact that they had to go back a month later for Grandma Metzler's funeral and drove all night to get there. So I think they did a very good job of putting on a good front for us, because I never felt anything other than excitement. And I was in the fifth grade. I was old enough to know better. And my first really good friend, well, Donna Burkholder and Roberta Mueller, but Mother had a real soft spot for Roberta because she had just lost her mother. And Roberta and I used to get together. We both had dolls. And Mother made clothes for her doll and my doll that matched. And I knew that it really, now I didn't feel anything because Roberta didn't let on to me, but I knew that it bothered my mother, that Roberta's mother was not living. So there were a lot of poignant things when you think back on it that they handled. And Daddy and Dr. Schwalm often went for walks together.
Daddy had several summer passports. We were at That was much later. Well, not so much. Well, it was much later, but it was, I was still at home. And
well, yeah, but the second time I wasn't home either. So that just David went with him that time. In fact, we lived in Rowena's parents' home. I don't know if they were just on leave or something, because all their furniture was still there.
Well, when would it have been?
I see it
her
been
dad
been
came
40,
down. That's why.
43,
I think
that.
He came down here in 43. So I bet you they were getting ready to
I'll
move
bet.
Or something.
Yeah, and but their furniture was still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was bliss.
That yeah, was I worked one summer. My wife negotiated the deal with Butler, D.L. Butler, who lived down the road a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So when I worked through harvest here and went up there and worked for D.L. for the rest of the summer,
mm-hmm.
and I could see my girl.
Yeah,
we
pulled
about
weeds
that.
For D.L. Butler.
You what?
Pulled weeds for him mm-hmm. out in the cornfield.
I used to.
Were there other summer pastures in Idaho?
No.
No more, thanks. I used to kid Ed when Eddie was around here. They were little kids when I lived there.
My goodness.
And his brother called him Eddard. So I
Eddard.
Always called him Eddard when he was around here.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to put people in this time frame. And I mean, I can remember the Butlers
mm-hmm.
then. And, mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Well, this is helpful. I mean, you've given some insights here, the kind of thing that, you know, you can't pick up from a paper. And I probably think of 1,000 other things I want to ask you if I get fooling with this.
We'll hope to be around.
I will be, I don't know what's in the Brethren Library on your dad. I don't think they've done a very good job of compiling information. I look, for instance, on Peter's. They have about one or two sheets of stuff on
you mean the
living.
Library here?
No, I mean in Elgin.
Oh,
cool. Chalmer Fall was so upset with
the encyclopedia
because they didn't have Mother's name and so forth. So we've made that correction.
I know you can't collect everything, but I never throw anything away if I find papers. Now, I can get a lot about your dad on his personal experience, and I suppose, really, if I get this put together, much of what I have will be on the McPherson thing, because I have the spectators and I can do that.
Well, and that was
and it'll be
a major part of this.
Well, I can remember when Daddy and Mother were married and they moved. Now I have to put.
Well, I could give you some very interesting information about that from Mother's diary. Okay. Mother kept a diary when they were in school.
I just passed it around.
And this would have been at Princeton, Louisville, Kentucky, and Princeton. And tells about, I mean, she would just write a little bit each day. And it was very factual. Never anything.
He went
about other people.
He went to, and I don't have this all straight, but he went out to Princeton and developed headaches or something, mm-hmm. So he had to take a year off. And then he took a little church, Solomon's Creek, which closed mm-hmm. up some years later. And I remember hearing about the fact that Mother and Daddy used to play checkers with buttons that she took out of her button box. Then they went to the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville. And that's where I was born, at the Jewish hospital. And
do you know how he happened to choose Princeton and Southern Baptist? How he chose those two particular seminaries?
I suppose.
But it's interesting that Gary Bill went to the very same schools, and Gary says that Southern Baptist is no longer like it used to be. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Gary Dill says that.
Mm-hmm.
What is?
It'd be interesting to know what he's referring to.
Well, the conservatism of Southern Baptist.
The far right Southern Baptists have taken over the seminary.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I know the Southern Baptists have had a problem, and the
well, that's
the fundamentalist
that's
wing has taken mm-hmm. over mm-hmm. from.
Clarence Jordan went to Southern Baptist in his day, so obviously it has still not taken the swing that it has now.
Yeah.
Well,
I might look through that diary of Mother's, because that would be
if there are some parts of that that you wouldn't mind showing me, it'd be.
Wouldn't mind sharing any of it.
But that it could, mm-hmm. you know, give some insights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember a whole lot of things he said. His nature, of course, was always with him. The night before we were married, my dear Mary was having some trouble coping with the strain and stress of finishing finals and getting ready for our wedding and all of that. So we went upstairs to the study, and in your father's usual calm way, what was he said now? When you come to the time, just
you ever
imagine.
Feel like
imagine.
You're going to?
See, what do you do?
Well, he said when he gets all uptight and worried,
he just
thinks that he's out in the barn.
I thought it was always behind the barn.
No, I had it in mind that it was in the barn. The cow was in the room.
So she was.
So
keep
when
that
I
in mind.
Came down the aisle, I was walking straight to the barn.
To marry that country guy.
Does remember things he promised.
No, I do, but I didn't dwell on the fact that it was my father.
Well, that was really hard
for
me too. I mean, I wanted Daddy to marry us, but it just made it that much more wrenching.
Well, you probably have forgotten, but our oldest daughter really pressured your dad into helping with her wedding.
Oh, really? No, I didn't.
Yeah, she helped with the wedding. He protested. I think at that time he knew he was slipping a little bit.
Hmm.
We induced him to believe that wouldn't matter, that he should come. I've forgotten what. It always seemed to me she probably was reflecting my own prejudice, but I thought anything Bert Messler touched was kind of holy.
Well, and that sounds ridiculous for children to say that, but I truly did feel that way. I mean, I always felt close to him as a father, because he, in his study, he had his desk, and there was another desk. But it was just a slate with a frame around it, which we still have, and it was propped up from the wall. So we studied up there. And if you had a question about Latin or German or physics
math.
Or algebra or geometry or whatever.
This just amazes
he
me.
He knew it.
Yeah, it amazes me that the man could help
and,
any.
And the fact that he was all, I never had the feeling that I was interrupting him or anything.
I'm sure he wouldn't have.
We just asked and he helped you. And, but I always, to me, he was the example
of go to the barn.
Christ. Oh, bossy, he was just like him. he was.
Well, I've always been amazed that we always, now I did some things I knew that they didn't approve of. Right here when we got to McPherson, there were some times when I was in high school or college, when I'd go to a movie on Sunday night, and I knew that I wasn't supposed to, and I knew he probably, but they never, I don't remember ever being,
no.
Because I think they knew that we knew.
Well, you and never enjoyed it when you did it.
Yes.
Because you knew that they were disappointed.
That's
but
right.
He never said anything about it.
How they did that.
Oh, no.
They sure did.
They did.
Sure.
Didn't you said something about, he would say now, something about this, is this what you want to be?
Oh, in your mind.
Keep in your mind.
Well, I can remember sitting there in front of the radio listening to Jack Armstrong or something. And he would come out every evening. He would go to the stairway and go up to his study. I mean,
yeah.
He was always up in his study in the evening. And I would just wait for him to say something, and usually he didn't, but sometimes he'd stop and he'd say, is this what you want to fill your mind with? And you know, I still feel that when I watch television.
You know, that ain't funny. That's for sure. That's profound.
And there was another thing, that every time we'd get in little arguments about why not do these things, and I'd say, what's bad about it? What's bad about it? What's so bad about this? What's so bad about this? He'd always say, what's good about it? What's good about it? Wow.
Well, no answer.
And, Well,
and I always had the feeling, and I think this is true, that he could fix anything. He worked on the car. If anything broke, he could fix it. If the house needed something, he did that. He wired the farm.
That's right.
While we were there. Because we had oil lamps at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that I know he would put his head down and say, oh.
I know.
I mean, he was very modest,
mm-hmm.
humble.
One thing I remember him saying upon a number of different occasions, but when and you can help me with this, when you'd wonder about, well, what about this, that, that, and he'd say, well, I think that the great God up in the universe, who made the universe, who
mm-hmm.
put the planets up there, and he would just go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this matter would, or maybe he'd ask us, what do you think he would really care about?
Well, and so he
had
was
a
not
broad,
yeah,
very
and
broad,
and he was not a judgmental person.
Oh no,
he was very if it was something that you felt maybe was, well, no, I don't know. Anyway, he was a very understanding man.
You've helped a lot. I mean, you have talked here, you're talking about the dynamics of the man.
Well, we hope we have set a fire under you some way.
Now, there's something
in here. You're
trying
to make me work now.
Yes,
that,
yes,
that's going to take a lot
well,
of
time.
Well,
now you've got us all excited, see?
But now there's one thing in here I think we should have a pencil and cross it out. because she agreed that we weren't going to tell that he spanked David.
Well,
I doubt if that would go in.
I think I'm going to ask Dave whether he thinks we should put that
in. I'm sure he doesn't remember.
At that time, didn't I say in there something about he had David go out and get the switch?
I don't.
I got to leave before I eat any more of those.
It was just because he was a little. I'm sure if he spanked David, maybe we must have gotten something, but I don't ever remember it.
I don't remember.
Well, anyway, we were
usually
very fortunate to have parents.
Usually goes the other way. I think I spanked the older ones, but I don't think Jen ever remembers.
But Ann and I were so good.
Well, I don't know.
I'd take another one of those nuts. Help yourself. Help yourself.
What
there.
Are these?
They're delicious.
I'm not real sure. They were given to us.
Okay. They're like.
I did not purchase.
Which ones? These?
Mm-hmm. Chocolate and powdered sugar or something.
Well, there's a glaze or something.
The almonds.
Yeah, take that.
Yeah, I did. I have plenty. These.
I think the almonds came from Dr. Kinsey. He sends us some every once in a while.
Not the almonds.
Pecans. These.
Earl Kinsey.
Mm-hmm. Well, we stayed with them one time years ago.
Now, what do you call this prairie?
They had pecans in their yard, and I'm sure I raved about them, and that's all it took.
Did you turn it off? This.
Oh.